Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right, I want to ask you tonight to get your Word out and turn with me to the book of Psalm, the 23rd chapter. And stand to your feet as we read God's word tonight. We're going to read the whole chapter of Psalm 23. Don't worry, it's only six verses. Most of us could probably, with maybe a little help here and there, quote this thing by heart, by memory. It's one of the most famous passages of Scripture in all of the Bible. It shows up quite often in pop culture and at funerals. Even people that didn't know Jesus have this read at their funeral. But I want to read it tonight, and this is what the Lord's placed in my heart to talk about. It's important that we don't overlook the familiar passages of Scripture. It's important that we don't become so used to hearing them that they don't hold power or prevalence in our life anymore. And so I want to point our attention to this because we find out so much about who God is, not just who he is, but who he is to us through this passage of Scripture. So let's read this as we study tonight and try to find out a better understanding of who God is to us. Because as we learn who God is to us, then we can then extend God to other people. And so I want to read this tonight. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Father, we look to your word tonight. I thank you that it's a perfect word that is able to change our life as we submit ourselves to it. And I pray that as we learn tonight about the good shepherd, that you would strengthen our minds and our hearts to be able to carry out what it is that you have for us to carry. Lord, I thank you that every time we come to hear the word, it's not just about what we're taught, but it's also about what we can catch and carry to other people. And so I pray that tonight you would give us a burden for those that are not yet in the fold, and that you would help us to be the representation of Jesus Christ to our community as the body of Christ that we've been called to be. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So as I was meditating on the word from Sunday morning, which I would encourage you to do, because listen, if you come to church, if you think it's important enough to get up on a Sunday morning and get in the shower, which I hope most of you did, and you know, comb your hair and get dressed and get up and you know and get here and spend an hour and a half, 2 hours in the house of God, hopefully you do that because you realize the importance of what happens while you're here. It's not just the attitude of going to church on a regular basis and this becomes part of what I do or even just a part of who we are. And we're Christians, so we go to church. We're members of this church, so this is what we do on Sunday mornings. But that as you come, you realize that as you are in the house of God, things are taking place. And so hopefully you're not leaving what happened at church, and then you're just going out and living a life that is separate from what you say that you believe while you're here, but you're taking what you're learning and what is being implemented and what is being taught, and you're meditating on it. So I try to practice that. Even though I'm the one that stood up there and talked to y'all about it for 45 minutes on Sunday, I still try to take time and meditate on it because I want it to get into my heart. I don't want to just know it in my head. I want it to get in my heart. And I truly believe that meditation is the mode of transportation to get what's in your head into your heart. If you want the word of God not just to be in your head, you want it to be in your heart, you need to meditate on it. You need to think about it. So I was thinking about finishing strong in 2023 as we have stepped into the second half of this year. You know, I love football. I love watching college football. And one thing that is so impressive to me is when a team comes out, how they respond in the second half, the adjustments. You can really tell a good coach coach by what kind of adjustments he made at halftime before he gets his team to go back out there. Well, Sunday was kind of your halftime, your moment to, if you had anything that you weren't firing on all cylinders, we need to get it firing on all cylinders so that we can win in the second half of 2023, so that we can be successful in advancing the kingdom of God, spreading the gospel, and being everything that God called us to do. So I was thinking about finishing strong in 2023, and I just kept thinking about 23. And I started thinking about the 23rd Psalm. And in fact, last night we were at home and we had family devotions. And what did we read, Judah? Psalm 23. And we talked about it and we looked at it. And as I began to meditate on that, I thought about just everything that that Psalm says and how we don't think about it enough because we've heard it so many times, we don't think about it. And it's obviously one of the most famous passages of Scripture of all time for good reason, because it's beautiful, it's full of truth, it's comforting, you know? People read the 23rd Psalm all the time. Maybe they don't have a relationship with God, but they'll read it because there's something about the words that are so comforting, right? It's read at funerals, or it's read just in seasons of difficulty and distress. And I once heard this said regarding Psalm 23. It said, "It's so deep that scholars are perplexed, yet so simple that children can enjoy it." And that's what's amazing about Psalm 23, is it really is deep, because it's talking about the character and the likeness of God and of Him as our shepherd and what He will do for us and what will happen. It even talks about spiritual warfare. That's how deep it is. He will prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David's talking about spiritual warfare, but yet it's so simple that when I read it to my children last night, I didn't even really have to explain what David was saying because he laid it out so easily for us to understand. So it's deep, but it's easy to understand. It's relatable. It's poetic. It's awesome. But as I read it, here's what I thought. I want Psalm 23 to be my way of life. I don't want it just to be something that I read that it brings me comfort, that I read it and go, oh, that's good. That's awesome. Man, isn't that cool that God does that? I want to read it and realize this applies to me. This can happen in my family. This is what God, He didn't just do this for David. He put it in His word because all Scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable for us, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if it's in here, it's for us. It's not just for David. This isn't just who God was to David. This is who God will be to you. And so let's get a little bit of history. It's largely accepted that this psalm was penned while David was king of Israel. Now, this is important for a few different reasons. One, because if he would have written it before he was king, it would have a completely different context to it, right? And obviously, before David was a king, what was he? He was a shepherd, right? So it would make sense if he was out there sitting in the field, and as he was a shepherd, he looked at the sheep, and he started thinking about God, and he started to relate the things that a shepherd does to what God does for him. But it's actually even more profound, and it holds more merit and more weight in the fact that he wrote it and penned it when he was a king, and scholars largely agree that he wrote this as a king. Why is that so important? Because even though he was a king, he was still dependent on God to be his shepherd. That's why it's so important that that when he wrote that, listen, he wasn't just a king. He was a wealthy king. He wasn't just a wealthy king. He was a victorious king. He conquered people on every single side. Everybody was frightened of David. Around the other countries, there was peace in Jerusalem. There was peace in Israel because David was such a man of war that when it came time to build a house for God, God said, "You've got too much blood on your hands. Your son Solomon is going to have to build the house for me." But David, he was victorious. And when you're a warrior like that, it's important that it's important that we realize that even though he was a warrior, he was dominating, he was victorious, he still understood, I need a shepherd in my life. Even though he had all the riches at his disposal, he had all kinds of power at his disposal, he did not let those things get in the way of seeing his need for God. So if I was to title this psalm, I would call it a cry of dependence, because I think that's what David was doing. He was crying out and he was saying, I'm dependent on God. I need God. I might be a king, but I still need a shepherd. I might be a ruler, I might be a leader, but I still need someone to rule me and to lead me in my life. Just yesterday, we celebrated independence from England, right? And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that we are free in America, and I think that's a great thing to do as Americans, to celebrate our independence and to celebrate the fact that we can worship like this right here together and we can be free. But when it comes to Christian living, we're not called to be independent, we're called to be dependent. And so it's good as Americans that we're independent from England, but it's bad if we try to live a Christian life independent from God. If we're isolating ourselves and we're thinking that we can do it on our own. And that's exactly what David is declaring in this passage. He's saying, I'm totally dependent on God. And so tonight, we're going to cover just the first two verses of this chapter. Because if we tried to get through all six, we wouldn't make it. Or y'all wouldn't make it. I'll say that. So let's take this in bite-sized pieces. That's what I like to do. He says first, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if anyone understood the responsibilities and the requirements of a shepherd, it was the man that was writing this, right? He'd spent years of his life out watching his father's sheep. He understood the protection that was needed for sheep. He understood the provision that was needed for sheep. He understood the helplessness of sheep. And here's what's amazing about that is even though he'd observed these pitiful animals, I mean, listen, y'all, sheep are really pitiful animals. They're dumb and they get in all kinds of trouble. And even though David had observed them up close for years, he still saw fit to relate himself with the sheep and God with the shepherd. Because that was his understanding of who God was. And so in Latin, the 23rd Psalm's opening phrase is this, Dominus reget me, which translates in English to this, the Lord is my ruler. So see, we read it as the Lord is my shepherd, but in Latin it says the Lord is my ruler because that's their word for shepherd. And so what David is saying is this. Now I'm not saying that the Bible was written in Latin. It was written in Hebrew, but as it was translated into Latin, that's how it was translated because that was their understanding of it, that David would say, the Lord is my ruler. That means he leads me, he guides me. And that also means this, he has the final say in my life. His will trumps my will. What he wants transcends what I want. And that means where he says go, I go. Because really, the shepherd has many obligations, many requirements. The number one obligation of a shepherd is to lead their sheep. That the sheep end up in the right place. And so that's what David is saying is basically wherever he says go, that's where I'm going to go. Why? Because I can trust that wherever he leads me is the best place that I could possibly be. Now, if you go over to the book of Micah the prophet in chapter 6, verse 8 says, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. When he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, that word good, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's the word tob and it means best or beautiful. Okay, but one of the definitions is best. That means God has shown us what is the best way of living. I want you to know this tonight. As the shepherd, he wants what's best for you. That's why you can trust him. That wherever he says go, even if it's to the other side of the world, if he calls you to go to Timbuktu, you can trust that when you get there, that'll be the best place that you could possibly be. If he calls you to stay home, maybe you have plans to go somewhere and you get this nudging, this inkling from the shepherd. You need to stay home today. That's the best place that you could be today. And so the most important thing is that we follow the shepherd, that we follow his leading, where he wants us to be. Now, calling the Lord your shepherd is simply saying, I trust him completely, because that's what sheep do of their shepherd is they trust them completely. Sheep don't talk back. You ever seen a sheep talk back? Right? No, they just trust their shepherd. As their shepherd calls and starts to go, they just follow after him. Now, sheep with no shepherd are some of the most helpless and just pitiful little creatures on the earth. They wander aimlessly. They find themselves in all kinds of danger and trouble. And so we know, even just naturally, sheep need a shepherd. And when it comes to Christian living, we cannot operate outside of the guidance, the lordship, the rulership of the shepherd, okay? Now, we can understand, because we're new covenant believers, that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. right? So anything that we read in this passage, we as New Covenant believers can relate to Jesus, okay? And so he's not just our Savior. He is our Savior, but he's also our shepherd. He's the keeper of our life. He has authority. He has dominion. Remember, the Lord is my ruler. And I was thinking about that today. Is so many people want to call Jesus their Savior, but they won't even dedicate any aspect of their day to him. Any time, any effort, any energy into serving him. But if you call him your shepherd, that means that you are submitted to do whatever he calls you to do that day. Now, here's the cool thing about him. Is because he's loving, he's gracious, and because he loves us enough to give us choice, free will, he will not take the place of shepherd by force in your life. Or he won't demand it. He won't demand that you make him your shepherd. But you know what he will do? When we open ourselves up and we subject our soul to him, he will willingly come in and he will take that rightful place that he has as shepherd, and he will lead us into the best place that we could possibly be. And so the first thing I want you to get with the Lord being your shepherd is that he wants what's best for you. He wants to get you into the best job. He wants to get you into the best place relationally with your spouse, with your children. He wants to get you into the best place where you can serve him and honor him and love him and be useful to the kingdom of God. He wants what's best for you. And so that's why we need to trust him as our shepherd. So the next thing David says, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, some translations say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I love that. Because you could read it this way, because God is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I don't want for anything. Look at somebody tonight and say, you need a shepherd. Judah, you need a shepherd, son. Now what you need to do is you need to go home, look at yourself in the mirror, or get in your car and turn your front camera on and see your 43 chins and say, you need a shepherd. Right? You need to remind yourself of that. Now, I love that he didn't say, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't want. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, which says, I don't want now and I won't want later. I'm not worried that God's going to run out of provision. I'm not worried that I'm going to get to a certain point in life and he'll stop taking care of me. He said, I shall not want. I have a perpetual covenant with the shepherd to know he is my Jehovah. He is my provider. He won't leave me lacking. He won't leave me wanting. Whether it's in the present or whether it's the future, I know the shepherd has got me. Now, the word want in Hebrew means to cause to fail. So now we can read it this way. Because the Lord is my shepherd, he will cause me to not fail. Some people live their entire lives in total fear of failure. Not doing anything, stepping out, you know, taking that class, starting that business, seeking out that relationship, whatever it may be, whatever that looks like to you, whatever God has placed on your heart or in your heart for you to do. Some people live in total fear of, but if I do it, I might fail. But when you know I have a shepherd that if I follow, not just what I want to do. Now, here's the key that you have to understand, is that if you just decide, I want to do this, and you try it, you could still fail. But if the Lord, as your shepherd, is leading you into it, there is a 0% chance of failure if you will follow him into whatever it is that he's calling you to do. And so, because he is my shepherd, not only shall I not want, but I won't fail. Because as long as I'm following him, I love what Paul said. Thanks be to God who always leads us into victorious triumph. Always. That's the only thing that God knows is victory. He doesn't know how to lose. He doesn't know how to fail. And so if we're following the shepherd, and that's where we have to get, is that we're not just like, he's my shepherd, and it's cool that he's my shepherd, but that I'm actually submitting myself as a sheep in his flock to follow him wherever it is that he leads me to go. So because I have a shepherd in Jesus, he will cause me to not fail. But the opposite of failure is victory. So we could also say this, because the Lord is my shepherd, I will walk in victory. I won't lack for anything. Whenever we see the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, we think about how much money we're going to have or get, right? Think about it this way. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I won't want for man's praise. Because I'll know he's my shepherd and he loves me completely. I'll know he's my shepherd and he's taking care of me. And so I don't have to care about what other people think about me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I won't want for the necessities of life, because I know that if he clothes the lilies of the field, and if he takes care of the birds of the air, and if he knows the hairs that are listed on my head that are less than they were yesterday, then I know that I can be sure that he will take care of me. So think about it that way. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I won't want for hope. I'll always have hope. Why? Because Jesus is my shepherd. I won't want for love. Why? Because God is love. And if he's my shepherd, then I will be walking in a place where I have constant, unconditional love from my shepherd. I won't lack for peace. I won't lack for joy. I won't want for any of those things. Have you ever been in the place where you wanted something, right? Like today, I was coming home from Scottsboro, and Pastor Madison texted me and said, go buy Publix and get me some of those Greek yogurt frozen bars, right? She had a wanting for those. You know why she wanted them so bad? Because when she asked me for them the other day, I forgot them, even though she texted me about them. And so she had a real hankering for those things. You ever just get a hankering for something? I do it all the time. I get a hankering for ice cream like every day. It just happens all the time. Ice cream, it just gets me all, or I want coffee every single morning. Without fail, I wake up and I want the Bible and coffee. In fact, if I don't get the Bible and coffee, I'm going to have a really bad day, okay? Because that's me meeting with my shepherd that morning is the Bible. No, I'll be fine because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I may desire some coffee in the natural, but I shall not want. But when we have this understanding, we realize I have all that I need. Why? Because I am not dependent on me. I'm dependent on my shepherd. I'm not in charge of supplying myself with what I lack. Now, on the flip side, let's talk about this. This doesn't give us the opportunity to be lazy, right? That doesn't mean that you get to quit your job and sit at home tomorrow and go, the Lord's my shepherd. I'm not going to want for nothing. No, you're going to be a broke son of a gun. You're going to be a broke joke is what you're going to be, right? You can sit in there and say all you want that God's your shepherd, but sometimes God's provision comes in the form of J-O-B, okay? And you need to get off the couch and go do what God is leading you to do. This means that no matter what season you are in or what economy you are living in, you can rely on your shepherd and he'll take care of you. Now, here's the cool thing too. There was, when the Israelites were living in Goshen and the Egyptians were being plagued, when the lights went out in Egypt, the light stayed on in Goshen. So because the Lord is your shepherd, even though you may be surrounded by evil and surrounded by an economy that is being crushed with inflation, you won't want for anything. Why? Because he's your shepherd. Even in the midst of a drought, ravens came and fed Elijah, or a widow woman baked him cakes. Come on, somebody. She didn't break him bread. The Bible says she baked him cakes. That's the kind of provision I want. Somebody bring me a strawberry cake from Edgar's in the middle of the famine. That's what I want, right? So you don't have to fear failure. You don't have to fear loss. Why? Because you're dependent on the shepherd. The U.S. government's not your source. Jehovah Jireh is your source. Amen? The word lack, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack, it does mean to cause to fail, but it also means to make lower. So what that means is I'm not going lower. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I'm going higher. My trajectory is always going up. I lift my eyes up to the hill from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. The Bible says that he takes us from glory to glory. So that means that my life isn't getting worse. My life is getting better. It's going up. So just like we talked about Sunday out of the book of Hebrews, we aren't people who shrink back. We're people who press on. So declare tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. Not just my spouse's shepherd, not just my mama's shepherd. He's my shepherd, and I shall not want. Not today, not tomorrow, not next year, not anytime, because he will take care of me. Next it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down. Now, when I started to think about this today, I thought, you know what? You only lie down in places that you're comfortable, right? Like, not just physically comfortable, right? Because, I mean, there's king-size beds in the middle of the mall, but I don't go lay in them. Even though they may be comfortable, but I'm not comfortable with being spread eagle on a bed in the middle of the mall, right? That's just not where I, that's just not, that doesn't sound comfortable. That doesn't sound fun to me. It's like everybody looking, walking by and like, who's the weird guy laying on the bed, right? So the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. So this speaks to me of the Lord brings me comfort because when I'm with him, I'm comfortable enough to lay down. Even just like this, you go to somebody's house for the first time and they welcome you in. And you can smell the pot roast that they're cooking and, you know, they've got candles lit. And it's a comfortable environment. They have a nice house. But you still don't go in and lay down on their couch the first time over at their house. Why? Because you're not comfortable enough to do that. But when I go to my parents' house that I grew up in, even though I'm just over there for dinner, I'm going to lay on the couch. Why? Because I'm comfortable there, right? And so you don't walk into McDonald's Walmart or McDonald's bathroom or Walmart bathroom, which I don't know which one's worse. I mean, we could have a poll, but it's just going to split 50-50 because they're both bad. I don't know which one's worse, McDonald's or Walmart's bathroom. But you would never lay down on that floor unless you thought you were going to die. I mean, at that point, you know, you hit a point sometimes in life where you're just like, I don't care. I'm going to die anyways. I might as well lay down. But you would never just willingly walk into the in there and lay down because it's not a comfortable place. But you get in your home and you get in your recliner on your couch. You lay down, you get comfortable. So it says, he makes me lie down. That means he causes me to stretch out and he causes me to rest. He causes me to be comfortable in a place where I can trust him. I think that sometimes God's leading us to a place of comfort, a place of peace, a place of rest, but we resist it because it feels more spiritual to strive. Feels more spiritual to press on. Feels more spiritual to keep going and burn out. And he's saying, I'm the shepherd who leads you beside the still waters. I'm the shepherd that leads you into green pastures. You know, sometimes God's leading us to a greater blessing, a better job, maybe getting a raise, maybe just having a better opportunity, but it feels more spiritual to struggle, so we go without. Here's what I want to say to you. Know your season. There are seasons and times when God will lead you into greener pastures. You know, the old idiom, the grass is always greener on the other side of the road or the other side of the street or the other side of the fence or, you know, and then there's always the comedians like, yeah, the grass is always greener where the septic tank is, right? That's what makes the grass greener. But when it comes to God, the grass is greenest wherever he leads. No matter what it looks like to anybody else, if you want to walk in greener pastures, then you're going to have to walk with God because that's where he leads us. So my point to you tonight is if he's leading you into greener pastures, don't resist. Follow his leading. Because sometimes I've seen time and time again that God is leading Christians to a better way of life, a place where you can be more generous. You could be better off, debt-free. And people say, oh, I just don't know if God wants me to make more money. Listen, if God is leading you there into greener pastures, it's because he's blessing you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Follow him in that season. Now, the word that is translated for green in Hebrew is the word deshe, and it does not mean the color green, okay? Like Tim has on a green shirt. Had to make sure I didn't have any green on. So we read green pastures, but if you read it in the Hebrew, it simply means he leads me to grassy pastures. That's what the word green actually means. It's just grassy. So David is not saying that God leads him just necessarily to somewhere that's green. He's saying he leads him to a place that's grassy. What does that mean? That means he's not leading me into a place that's dormant or desolate, but into a place that is lush and has proper sustenance and comfort for what is needed to bring about nourishment and rest in his life. Because sheep need grass. And so God doesn't lead the shepherd doesn't lead the sheep into a place that's just a desert. He leads them into the place where there's grass. He's taking care of them. He says next, he leads me beside the still waters. Now, it's kind of obvious if you were to think about it, but oftentimes we don't think about it because this is so poetic and we've heard it so many times that we don't relate it to the natural side of what a shepherd actually does. But a good shepherd did not take their flock to a body of water that flowed furiously. Because when those little sheep went to drink, the current would pull them down and wash them away, and he would lose his sheep. And so when David's saying, he leads me beside the still waters, it's not just because he needed another word to throw in there. He's saying, God the shepherd is leading me to a place that is safe, and I can get refreshed without fear of drowning. Now, David had no doubt done the exact same thing for his sheep, and so he recognized it in his life as the Lord did it for him. So that means that when it comes time for rest and refreshing, God doesn't want you scared that you're not going to make it. Because that's what sometimes Christians do, is they think, if God's leading me into a season of rest, what am I going to miss out on? What am I not going to accomplish? What am I not going to do? And we have to learn sometimes that we need to rest so that we can do. Because if that sheep doesn't get that water, they're not going to have the sustenance and the nourishment and the hydration that they need for the journey that the shepherd's about to take them on. It doesn't mean that they might not cross a desert. They might not go through a difficult hills and valleys, but he's going to make sure before they do that they have what they need to make the journey. And so I want you to know tonight, it's okay to rest. It's okay to sit down and allow the Lord to bring you to a place of refreshing. You don't have to beat yourself up all the time. This is something that I learned a long time ago, and I try to apply it to my life. We live from rest, not for rest. But so often in America, we get that backwards. We work, whether it's in the secular realm or in our spirituality. We work till we work ourselves to the point where we can't work anymore, and then we crash, and then we get up and we do it again. But the way that God set it up is that we would rest, and then we would work, and then we would rest again so that we could carry out the work that he has for us. I'll show you this. When Adam woke up on the first day of being a man, God said, hey, bud, let's rest. Because God created man on the sixth day. On the seventh day, God rested. So Adam woke up, rearing and ready to go, and God said, let's have a Sabbath day. That's how he started his life. Why? Because God was showing us the pattern that he wanted us to live by, that we would rest, and then we would work. And it shows us in this psalm, because later, we're going to get to the place where it says that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we won't fear any evil. So that means there's going to be moments and times where we're going to have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But what comes first? He leads me into green pastures and beside the still waters, symbolic of rest. He leads me to a place of rest because he knows there's going to be a time where the enemies are coming. He's going to prepare a table, but I'm still going to have to face the enemies. I'm still going to have to walk through the valley of shadow of death. But he wants me to be rested and rejuvenated and refreshed so that when that time comes, I don't run off somewhere. I don't get off course. I don't abandon mission. I can make it through because I have rested and I've been refreshed. So live from rest, not for rest. Remember what the Word of God says. Remember the Sabbath day. And then what does it say? And keep it holy. Now, a lot of times we remember that there's supposed to be a Sabbath, but a lot of times we don't keep the Sabbath. What does keep the Sabbath look like? Resting. Taking a day. Hopefully yesterday you took some time with it being a holiday. You just hung out with your family. You just rested. Maybe you had the day off. Tanner told me he had to work. I thought that was the most unpatriotic thing I'd ever heard in my entire life of his boss, that they made him work on. He's like, well, they gave us Monday off. I was like, Monday was the third. Like, that doesn't count. That's not justification. But hopefully you took some time this week and you just rested. And hopefully you remember each and every week that it's important that I take time to allow the Lord to lead me into green pastures, to lead me beside still waters. That's why it's so important that when you wake up every morning, you spend time with your shepherd. That he'll lead you. Because listen, throughout the day, you'll walk through that valley of the shadow of death. It might be a daily thing. It might be every time you clock in, every single morning. I don't know when it is for you. It might be about 2 o'clock when you need a second caffeine fix. I don't know. But you're going to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. But you need to start your day by the still waters with a shepherd. Not lacking, not wanting for anything, not needing what somebody else is going to say, somebody else is going to do for you, realizing all I need is found in my shepherd. right? So declare tonight, the Lord, not me, not anybody else, is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He's the ruler of my life. He has the final say. He will lead me. He will guide me. Because of him, I'm not going to want for anything. He will lead me beside the still waters and into the green pastures. We'll continue this and go through more of it. Next week, Pastor Tanner's going to speak, and I'm looking forward to that. But the week after, we'll pick up and we'll talk more about this. But I knew that tonight, if we tried to go all the way through this thing, it's already 7:40. We'd be here till at least 8:40 because we only did 2 out of 6 chapters, or verses, excuse me. And so would you stand to your feet with me tonight? I simply wanted to remind you, number one, we all need a shepherd. Number two, how good our shepherd is. He's not just an okay shepherd, right? He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's a perfect shepherd, and he's the only shepherd that we need. And whenever we find ourselves wandering out of his flock and wandering away from him, that's when we find ourselves wanting, lacking, discouraged, upset, not where we need to be. Let's allow him to lead and guide us. Amen. Father, I pray tonight that these words would ring true in each and every one of our hearts, that we would store them away just as Mary kept these things and she pondered them in her heart. I pray that you would help us to ponder these truths in our heart, even though they are truths that maybe we've heard from the time we were children until now. I pray that they would remain lodged in our heart and that they would lead and guide us, that as we wake up tomorrow morning, we would look forward to time with the shepherd, that as we lay our head on the pillow tonight, we would remember goodness and mercy is following us all the days of our life. And we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can be with you. We can know you. Father, we love you and we thank you for being such a wonderful shepherd. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you walk daily with the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. Love you guys. Be blessed. Have an awesome night. Good to see you tonight.